This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to the Kind of Funny First Impressions of Bug Snacks. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelia Jr. Joining me is the number one Bug Snacks journalist himself.
Is Greg that what I am? Is that my title now?
Oh, that's shit, what I'm calling you this episode. Title.
All right, cool. Wow, okay.
Greg, how's it going?
It's good, Blessing. How are you?
I'm very excited to talk about this.
I know you are. You've been at the top of the Bug Snacks food chain for quite some time. This game. Ready to go about this game.
Me and you, we had a whole PSLV episode where we spent the first 20 minutes talking about what is Bug Snacks? What is this game? What are you actually doing? Greg, me and you finally have the answer because you got to play it. I got to watch you play it for about an hour, and I want to talk all about it. But before we do, I want to let people know that, of course, this is Kind of Funny First Impressions. Each episode, we join you to talk about the new and exciting games that we're able to get our hands on. You can catch it right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Again, today we're taking a look at Bug Snacks. Greg.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me about Bug Snacks.
Well, I want to do two disclaimers at the very top. Number one, of course, is that Bug Snacks is made by a developer named Young Horses, who contracted my wife's company, Pop Agenda, to help with marketing and PR and all that stuff. So full disclosure at the front of that my wife set up the appointments for this. So if you can't trust my opinion of it or Blessing's opinion, because he knows my wife, I understand. And I want you to know that. And number two, then, the footage you're seeing isn't our game. If you're watching on YouTube, isn't our gameplay. This is a gameplay playthrough provided by them. But it is what we played, the exact same stuff. So, back to your question. What do you want to ask me?
Can you lay the land, right? We got to play, an hour 15?
Yeah, hour 15 of Bug Snacks, yeah.
Yeah. And we basically played like the first hour and 15.
Yeah, this game's picking up right from the start of it. This is your arrival on Bug Snack Island, or Snacktooth Island. As you see, then you get knocked down there by a Mothza.
I guess
not Mothra, not a pizza.
A Mothza. I guess my first question is, what did you think of it?
I was actually super excited for it. And I don't want to say, like, you talked about it at the top of this. We've talked so much on PS I Love You of, like, what is this game? Like, what the hell is it going to be? Before we even knew it was first person, you're adventuring. Like, what is Bug Snacks going to be? Having played an hour of it, it's an adorable, I thought endearing first person puzzle game. And not puzzle in the way you're thinking of, like, The Witness or whatever. Puzzles in, all right, cool, there's a bug snack that's a pineapple underground. How do I get that pineapple to surface so I can catch it in my trap? And that sounds as goofy as it actually is, but I was surprised already as we played through it how much I was connecting with the characters, right? You know, the first person we'll see, of course, here we're finding out about Lizbert, her island. We know this all, or you should if you've paid attention to trailers and stuff, that she has this island. There's a bunch of different bug snacks on it, which are bugs that are food that you can then eat and take on their properties and all this stuff. We go out there as a journalist, but the first character you're really introduced to, right, is Philbo or whatever. And he has got these, there he is running around right now. He's got the mayor sash on. He's a complete clown. And you meet him and we've heard his voice. We've seen a little bit of him here and there. To meet him in the game and you immediately have to go catch some strawberries. None of the fruits are their actual names, so then it makes it incredibly hard for me to call them whatever they're really called. You have to go capture them to then feed him to get him up and running. And I was kind of like, all right, cool. That, I think, is a great taste of what the gameplay is, at least from what we've seen in an hour, right? Of that is how it works. You meet these grumpuses on the island that look like walruses. They tell you the bug snack they're looking for, and you have to go out and get it. You have an awesome journal that has all your quests in it, all your different bug snacks. They talked about it at the top of after they announced it and they put up all the vision boards for it. Like, you're playing, and like when you go into first person, you're using something that's so Pokemon Snap of capturing them, scanning them, getting the information about them, adding to your book. There's 100 bug snacks to go out and find, right? I'm all over the place. It's the Busan. But for meeting these characters, right, and Philbo and going through, there's a moment coming up in the demo where he goes and meets another character, right? And she's incredibly rude to him. And his voice acting is so well done of him, like, oh, like, why? And it's like, fuck, I feel for him. I've known him for like 2 seconds in this weird game where I'm just catching bugs, bungers and all these other and shish kebabs and all these.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous, but immediately already, and before I was even to the actual town of Snackburg, right? Like, it was like, oh no, I'm in. Like, I care about these people.
To the question of what is Bugsnax, I think you make a good point that it is, it's this first person puzzle game for all intents and purposes, but at the same time, it is this interesting combination of a bunch of different things. I reference a lot the tweets that some of the devs made of like, oh yeah, these are inspirations for Bugsnax.
Yeah.
And it's the games that they referenced were like Dark Cloud and Pokemon Snap and BioShock and a bunch of different Viva Pinata and a bunch of different games that in theory would have nothing to do with each other. But as I watched you play this game for like an hour and 15, you know, those puzzle pieces started to come together for me in a way where I was like, okay, no, I understand what they're getting at here. Like, you know, I don't know if they made it, if they referenced the game in the tweets, but you know, there's some Horizon Zero Dawn in here. Like, there are like little mechanics and little references to other games that they bring in to make this thing. And so the
thrust of it, so weird. I feel like even like, you know, we're going through the demo in real time, letting it play and go over the stuff, like to think about describing Horizon as part of as an influence for Bugsnax, you're like, what? But when you get into it and you start dealing with the contraptions and the quote-unquote puzzle nature of it, right? Like, as you see right now, if you're playing, you're gonna use your snack scope to look at the Strabby and then figure out who he is and how do you capture him, and you see their pattern on the ground. So then you use this trap that you deploy that not only do you deploy it, and then when they walk in it lights up blue, you then have to hit your watch basically to close it. So it's like, there's the Pokemon influence, or for me, the Ghostbusters influence of trying to capture these things and go. But then it was the additional layers of items they added on there, because it wasn't just that normal trap right there, right? Sorry, I thought the house was falling apart.
So it's just Lucy dropping ice all over the goddamn
game. Oh, Lucy.
Well, it wasn't on water. Use your eyeballs. It's the idea of all the different things, right? So right here, we get the trap that you'll use to capture a lot of things, but then there's items or Bugsnax that are too big for that trap. And then there was, you know, we got a slingshot that I could use to fling around ketchup or eventually chocolate to then lure different bugs into different spots. And
yeah,
more important than it gets introduced by luring one of them, the bunger, into a pen, but it's more important later on of luring one Bugsnax to interact with another Bugsnax so you can capture the second Bugsnax. Well, and that's where the puzzle starts coming.
And that's what makes this game interesting, is because I think there was kind of the question of when we got the first trailer for the game that didn't really show any gameplay, and you had the questions, what is this game? I forget if it was a Gamescast or what, where we were throwing different ideas around for what we think Bugsnax is. And I think I think it might have been Tim or somebody else who was like, oh yeah, I can see it being more of a kind of like a meme, right? Kind of like what Octodad was, where Octodad, of course, there was a game there, but the game is kind of how difficult the game is to control. Like, it was the bit. Like, that was the game. And in Bugsnax, I'm seeing way more, it feels weird to say, but way more systems, way more things at play, to where you have 100 different Bugsnax. You can collect them all if you want to. You have a quest system in your journal that you're going through. You can capture, or like, when I say capture, I mean like scan all the different Bugsnax to know their different properties, to know how you can catch each of the Bugsnax. Like, there's a lot of systems actually at play that lends this game to being an actual game as opposed to this is a bit, this is a gimmick.
I think the biggest question coming in, right, was, all right, cool, but is this a game? This is a real-ass game, which I wasn't expecting necessarily. I'd hoped, obviously, but we've talked so much about Octodad, Dadliest Catch, right, and how I thought that was a fun idea that was great and demoed really cool at PAX's and everybody thought it was adorable. But when you got it home and played it, it was like, okay, well, like, I get it. I get the joke of it, right? Like, whatever. What I had seen playing through Bugsnax for an hour was all of these different tools you're being given to not only capture the Bugsnax, but more importantly, make them interact with each other and solve these puzzles. And it's the type of problem solving that I'm interested in, where I think like something like The Witness and, you know, trying to figure out exactly what was going on was not my jam. But sitting here and figuring out how these systems interact with each other, right? Like, eventually we're going to get to the bunger in this demo. And it's that idea of, all right, cool, that you need to capture him, but he needs to be stunned. And so it was this thing of, he likes to go after the ketchup packets. What do I do with that? And you and I sat there and talked over it, you know, during our demo for like, 3 minutes, I feel like, where you saw me running around trying to get him to run into walls. I couldn't make it happen. Eventually, I got it exactly the way I wanted it to happen, and it didn't do at all what I thought it would do. And I was like, fuck, man, what am I doing wrong? We had this conversation about it. And it's like, that's the fun of it. And I think especially as you start adding in more and more of the bug snacks themselves and how do they play off of each other, right? To get to the beach like I did later in the demo and have a whole slew of new characters there and not understand exactly what they need to do and how they interplay, but start figuring it out. And it's those little aha moments, right? Of figuring out, oh, this one's obsessed with chocolate. So wait a second, if I do this and I put the trap here, I can do this. And then figuring out, oh no, that scared him and you got to move this around.
Yeah. No, it's pretty interesting to see all the different tools in your disposal, because you mentioned the chocolate, you know, you mentioned also the ketchup, right? There are different sauces that you can find as you're playing that, like, you know, will attract certain kind of bug snacks. And that's part of the main thrust of the game, is figuring out, all right, like, how do I basically catch all these different things? Like, each bug snack is kind of its own, or each bug snack, I guess, because bug snack would be the singular as opposed to the plural. Each bug snack is basically its own puzzle in terms of how you're going to catch it and how you're going to, basically how you're going to scan it and do all that stuff, which feeds into this larger quest system and this world system of, basically, the premise of the game is you're a journalist that is coming in and you're studying the bug snacks and you want to talk to Lisbeth, but Lisbeth is gone for some reason. And so, like, that ends up funneling you through the world into finding this town called, I think it's Bugville. I keep wanting to call it Bugville.
Snacksburg,
which is this ghost town that's been abandoned because Lisbeth is gone, and Lisbeth was, like, the leader of the town. And so basically you're going through, like, finding the different townspeople. And again, like, to the thing of the tweet that had the different games references, games reference for, like, what inspired the game, to bring in the dark cloudness of it. You know, you have the town system, which is you bringing people back to the town, similar to a dark cloud, to where, okay, now that people are back in the town, I'm now going to take quests from them and, like, interact with them in this cool way. Like, this game has surprisingly quite a bit going on with it that I was not expecting in that regard, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the thing for me too. Right now, if you're watching the video, right, you're seeing us feed a fry to a Wombus here, and it becomes his arm, right? Like, he gets a French fry arm. And a little bit into the, well, in my demo, I'm not sure if exactly when you run into it in this one, you'll get a device that allows you to target specific body parts and limbs for what you want to do with it, which then plays into the idea when you meet someone later on, their quest is, oh, she wants a pineapple for hair to have that, like, cool pineapple top. You know what I mean? And you go and you make that happen. And so you're starting to use it that way. Whereas in the beginning for Philbo and his strawberry arms here and carrot leg, that's just randomized in terms of when it's dropped. So you see these things and you start moving with them, but that's the mechanics of it. For the story like you're talking about, yeah, that is the other part of this weirdly already endearing thing of, I played an hour of it and Philbo's fucking awesome and super sad and very nice and I want to take care of him. And then in the same thing, yeah, of, you know, his goal was, you know, or not goal, I guess, but, like, when Lisbert left or whatever, he was put in charge. She's gone now. It's all fallen apart. Everybody's moved away. And so there is this idea of trying to bring the town back and bring everybody back into it. And just at a glance, I really enjoyed the stories I was getting. You know, eventually you're going to run into somebody coming up who, or maybe not, I don't know if it's in the video for this demo, but it's another tool you get of putting the strawby in a, like, hamster wheel, and then you using a laser like a cat, and then the strawby chases it, and you can use the ball as a tool to, you know, force other bug snacks out of small places to advance the certain plot in certain ways or whatever. Like, when I did that and understood it, I, you know, the guy gave it to me. I used it to go get 3 orange slices, whatever the hell they're called, and bring them back to him, these bug stacks that are orange slices. And, you know, at the end of it, he's like, you know, Strawby and the contraption should stay with you. And he has this, like, touching monologue saying goodbye to the Strawby. And I was like, damn, like, this is unexpected. You know, we don't know what to expect from bug snacks other than it's going to be super weird. I do think, you know, before enduring, it's funny. Like, I did laugh out loud multiple times.
The writing humor is on point, I think. Like, the voice acting is pretty funny. All the characters you met as we were playing through it, you know, seemed very endearing. I especially loved, I can't remember her name, but there was, like, a singer character who, like, is, like, the soulful, like, singer. And once she gets into a bit, that had me, like, legitimately laughing. And I was not expecting that coming out of this game.
I'm looking here, because, like, they put out, as along with this today, the demo, or the embargo the embargo lifting today for Bugsnax. They also put out the cast list for it here. So I'm looking through because it's a whole bunch of people we all know and love for that most. I mean, Yuri Lowenthal, right? Spider-Man is in here. But I'm looking for the actual person you're talking about, right? Because, yeah, she did a great job and I'm not seeing it because I suck. But Deborah Wilson's in this as well. Like, I mean, like, names and characters and voices. Yeah, exactly. They're going to be a part of this too. And while we're doing this part of it too, they did officially confirm this is a PlayStation 5 launch title. November 12th, it's out on PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC. Important to get that information out here. But even like, yeah, the Bunger, we knew this already, obviously, from trailers and what you've heard about it and if you've read about it. But like, even the Bunger saying his name Bunger over and over again was funny. And every time I caught any one of the Bugsnax and then they do like a little defeated version of their name, I was like, that's great. And I don't know. It's just more than I expected. You know what I mean? In terms of what this game was going to be. And I'm not saying I didn't expect anything, but we had this question of how much of a game is Bugsnax? And Bugsnax is a real-ass game.
It is a legitimate game, right? Yeah, like they talk about 100 different Bugsnax to catch. Like all the stuff they mentioned sound like it's going to appeal to a Greg Miller who is a completionist, as somebody who like wants to go through and collect all the different things. They mentioned also that it's, 8 hours to play through.
Main pathing it would be 8 hours. Yeah, if you want to do more and go through and try to get all 100 of them, it's going to be a different thing, or do all the side quests and stuff like that. I don't know. When you open the journal, you can already see like it's a game built for. Do you want to see everything? Do you want to do everything? You're tracking your quests. I cracked up again, like you said, you're a journalist in this thing. So like at one point when I had already run off and done a bunch of other stuff, double back to Philbo and was talking to Philbo. And it was like, cool, or it might have actually been a story beat. Can I interview you? And it introduces how you interview somebody in Bugsnax. And so you open the journal and you have a tape recorder and your Grumpus finger comes in and hits record. And then you go through and ask all these questions. And it's like, that sounds goofy and fun. And like, again, with the writing being as funny and as interesting as it is, as the characters being endearing as they are already, or at some points like total off-putting, right? What was the one Beffa or Brenda, but it's like Befika, is that it? Of like, yeah, like she's horrible horrible to film up. But so it's like, I don't want to help you out, but I do want to see more about what's going on with it. Befika, like they've done something here that I think's really intriguing in a way that is more than I expected it to be, if that makes sense. Because again, we have this question of, is it a meme? And it's not a meme. It's a real ass game that I think is really interesting.
How much more beyond what we played do you think is beyond the surface? Because as we were playing, I was thinking back to the original trailer where towards the end you see that there's some kind of creature being that is all Bugsnax, like somebody who obviously ate too many Bugsnax and turned into thing. And for what we played, we didn't really get any hints of that, which makes me think like, all right, is the story going to go places? Because I, from what we played, I didn't really feel like there was this
dark, sinister tinge.
Yeah, like this dark, sinister tale beneath the surface, or even like this huge focus on what the narrative is. Like it felt like the characters were It felt like story was the backdrop to get us to these funny characters and these fun aspects of catching the Bugsnax. Do you think like this is going to spiral down like a road of like, oh no, yeah, there's an actual bigger narrative here that is gonna like blow y'all away, or not even blow us away, but like, you know, be more core to the experience?
I don't know, and I'm interested to find out. Because I don't, for a team as weird as Young Horses, as weird as you need to be to make Octodad to then go and make, hey, we're gonna make a game which is this weird fusion of Pokemon and bugs and food and all this stuff, and to have it be as bright and colorful as it is, there is an interesting like, where is this all going? Like when we bring them, is this a kids game? And it's not a kids game, but is it like, you know, this cartoon Saturday morning cartoon vibe the entire way through, or do we turn a corner and it does get dark? Because you always bring up the fact that like they had BioShock on there as one of their like influences on that board, and it's like, so are we going to turn a corner and it gets horrifying and weird? I doubt it, but I would love to see that. I would be super into seeing that.
I wouldn't be shocked if we get to that point. No pun intended. I wouldn't be BioShocked if we get to that point.
I didn't get it. Good call.
Yeah, there you go.
Orange peel bug.
I knew it was peel. I wanted to mention peel because I knew I had peel in the name, but I couldn't remember the name of the bug. Yeah. Worth pointing out, you can choose your fur color. yes. at the start of the game.
Very important.
Yeah. It's funny because I think that's like the only like customization you can do for your character, but it's also first person, and so you're not really going to see anything aside from the hands. And so, like, yeah, who cares aside from the skin color? I'm going through my notes to make sure I'm catching everything. I said 8 hours.
The one thing we didn't talk about that I have in my notes, there is, like, if you're watching this video right now, you see that there's a time of day down in the corner. Time of day matters. That is the thing where, like, when I went back to Befika and took her quest, she was like, all right, cool. You know, I love cataloging all the bug snacks. Go and catalog the bug snacks out in the garden grove or whatever, and we'll compare notes. And she was like, remember, like, some bug snacks don't come out at the same time. So I went out there, cataloged what I could, then went back. You can walk into town, sleep in any bed, advance time to very specific places, then go back out and look for it, which is something I appreciate. I like the idea, again, of the discovery of the nature of this game, where I don't expect this to be like looking for Pokemon shinies. Like, you're gonna have to really be in this real specific spot at this specific time with these specific weather conditions. And like, actually, everything I just said, you might be, because they did mention rain in the game. But I do think that it's gonna be a fun way to do it. And I think it's gonna be one of those games where if you played through it with a guide, I bet you could just steamroll it and be done with it so quickly. But if you sit there and actually play it, I think this is such a great journal, by the way, in terms of, you see, if you look at it right now on top there, of who you've caught, what your quests are, what you have with the bug snacks you currently have in your inventory. That aside, though, I think the fun of this game is going to be sitting there and trying to figure out, how do I get this bug? This bug snack? How do I do that? And it's also worth pointing out, you know, you talked about the Dark Cloud stuff, and you actually asked a question about that when we were getting our demo. And Phil from Young Horses was talking about, like, you have a bank in the town, right? So, because you were asking, like, does it only make sense to pick up the bug snacks that I need for a given quest, or should I just pick up everything? And he's like, well, there's a bank in town that when you bring in, that actually expands more and unlocks more for you to do in it and stuff.
Yeah. And also worth pointing out, like, I asked about the size of the world itself, and they mentioned that if you're watching the video, right, like, you can see this open beach area that you're walking around. And they mentioned that there's like 10 to 12 areas in the game, like big open areas in the game. But then you also have your town, which is like your hub area. And so, like, you go there, you try to build that out in terms of bringing people back in, and then you take quests, do whatever you need to do. But then, yeah, you go back out into these types of areas so you can go and catch your bug snacks.
Yeah.
Cool stuff, man.
So, like, are you with me? Or, like, are you in for this?
So them announcing that it's a PS5 launch title puts me in an interesting place for two reasons. One, now I got to pick and choose, like, all right, what do I want to play on launch day? But then also, I feel like this is such an, now that we've gotten to actually see what this game is,
yeah,
such an interesting choice for PlayStation to have this in their event. As, like, I know they're looking for breadth and different types of, or breadth and variety in terms of the game to go off for the PS5. But, like, nothing about this game made me go, like, oh, yeah, this is a PlayStation 5 game, which I think is just fascinating from the PlayStation side. And
I guess that's worth pointing out that we didn't say at the top of it, right? We played on PC through Parsec with a DualShock 4. Like, it wasn't like we were using a PS5 dev kit or anything.
Exactly. But, like, I'm fascinated with it. Like, if you know me, you know that I like puzzle games. I'm also into 3D platformers, and this isn't a platformer, but it has some, it reminds me of a Banjo-Kazooie in terms of, I'm just going to go around this level and figure out these different obstacles or different puzzles. And the music kind of gives me like a 3D platformer vibe. I asked about the soundtrack, and they mentioned that it was the same person who did the soundtrack for Octodad, is the same person doing the soundtrack for this game. And like, it has so many endearing elements to it that I definitely want to check it out. But I will say it's not necessarily now that I know what it is, it's not necessarily like a priority for me. Like, unless like reviews go up, or like launch day comes and everybody's like, yo, you second half of this game has some deep dark shit, man. Like, unless it's a situation like that, you know, I might hold off on it and come back to it later. But I do, at the end of the day, want to check it out and play it, because it looks like a fun time.
For me, it strikes me a lot of how I'm playing Crash 4 right now, which is, I enjoy the hell out of Crash 4. I think it's great. And I'm excited to play it, but I'm prioritizing other things and then doing a level in the world, right? And like, then closing off the PlayStation and going on to bed or whatever. I feel like if you're talking about on launch day, fuck yeah, it's going to be all about Miles Morales, right? Like, I'm going to be all over that and into that. And how does Assassin's Creed and Valhalla look, and so on and so forth. But Bugsnax strikes me as, why not? I'll hop in there and go do a little bit of this and go do a little bit of that. And like, because I do, you spoke to it earlier, like, just looking at it and seeing the way they do their journal speaks to me on that completionist level, and like hopefully a good platinum trophy, knock on wood, of like, yeah, I want to get in there and do all of that, but I don't think I want to get in there and do all of that on launch day at the detriment of not seeing what Miles is up to, or tinkering with Spider-Man Remastered, or even booting up Demon's Souls, right, and seeing what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, our conversation we had on PS Love You 2 weeks ago now, right, we talked about we did the thing where we rated games based on what we thought their Metacritic would be as like a fun, right, fun bit, as a fun game. And like I mentioned that during, for some of the games, I was like, all right, you know, I can see this having a lower Metacritic, and not because like, you know, there's anything wrong with the game, just because with launch titles, you're going to have some duds. This sure doesn't strike me as that. This strikes me as like a good, like, second or third game to be playing, like, in tandem with, you know, while I'm playing Miles Morales and while I'm playing Demon's Souls or Godfall or whatever it may be, right? Like, this could be the third game that I'm playing while I'm playing those and switching back and forth, where when I'm like, all right, I need a break from Miles Morales. I just want to collect some stuff. This has that vibe of I'm putting on a podcast. I am just figuring out these puzzles. All right, I'm coming back. I'm collecting a quest and going back and playing it.
You know what I think? I think I agree with you, right? And I do want to get back to that because, yeah, PS, I love you, XOXO, right now with all of our Metacritic predictions for the launch lineup. However, I think what this game does when you look at the list is even, and I know this sounds goofy because we're literally just looking at them on the beach or whatever, it reminds me of that stress level zero chill game where I don't think, and I mean, we haven't played deep into it, but like the bunger hit me around, but there was no fail state. I didn't die. I feel like it's that kind of game, right? And even like when I was trying to figure out how to get the strawby in the little ball to get where it needs to be, and like the orange peels were catching up to it, it wasn't like they then licked it and destroyed it and I had to start all over again. It's a game that I do feel like you can get into and just chill out in.
It's very friendly.
And that's one of those reasons I don't think necessarily you're going to see this crazy horror change at the end or something dramatic happens. And I'm sure there's going to be a goofy twist to all of this of why everybody's happy to be getting turned into French fries and strawberry feet or whatever.
The journalist created the bug snacks all
right. Yeah, exactly. But I think the game is setting off to be a bright spot and a bit of a refuge from something as serious as Demon's Souls, something as, you know, video gamey as Spider-Man. Even like, I think, you know, when you want to look at like Sackboy A Big Adventure, like that's a platformer, right? So there's that level of frustration to it of you failing, like, all right, fuck, I can do it this time, or whatever collectible you're trying to get to that's out of the way. This strikes me as a game you just can play at your leisure and, you know, put as much time or as little time as you want into it at a time.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
So here's my question for you.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
If you don't mind me taking over first impressions.
No, do it. Do you think?
The whole point of us predicting the Metacritic scores on PS I Love You XOXO episode 39, which is available now on podcast services and youtube.com/CutBuddyGames, was the idea of we don't know much about any of these games, right? Like we haven't played any of these games. We were going in blind when we put all these things down. Well, now that you know and you've seen Bugsnax, what do you think your Metacritic prediction would be? To remind you on Bugsnax, we talked about how Octodad had a 69 on Metacritic. And then, nice, by the way. And then I said for Bugsnax, you know, just I said it would have an 80 and you said a 79. This is for 2 weeks removed from that there release.
I said 79. You know what? I'm gonna stick by it. Like I can see it landing around that. I think the game is endearing. It has a lot of charm to it. I think the mechanics and like just the gameplay loop that they have here of just go and find the bug snacks and collect them and have a laid back fun time. I think that's gonna speak to people in the same way that maybe like in Animal Crossing speaks to people or something of that ilk speaks to people. I could honestly see this game being a in a weird way, almost having that similar Octodad level of virality of it being the thing that people talk about on social media because, hey, you found a strawby over here. Well, I was in this area over here, and in the nighttime during the rain, that's right, the time when the pop ticks come out, and that's how I was able to find a pop tick, and people having those interactions and back and forth. I think that might provide a level of involvement for people that people will end up appreciating and sticking to. And I think that lends itself to still having like that, if we're talking about it in a Metacritic sense, right?
Like we are,
that'll lend to it having a good feedback and good reviews there.
I think it's going to be a really interesting thing because, and I know we from the beginning, people have been Pokemon Snap, they've been Viva Pinata. It has all those vibes to it and a little bit more. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Where I said 80, I could see it going higher by a bit, but I think it's going to be one of those games that you're given a whole bunch of launch games to review for Site X or whatever, and you get here and is this a kid's game? Is it whatever? Blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't hit with that reviewer and they knock it down a bunch of just like, it's a weird collecting, photoing, whatever, cutie game. I didn't like it kind of thing. And then I think there's going to be a huge subsect of people who are like, this is so my fucking jam. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you talk to Joey Noel about what she's excited for on PlayStation 5, like, Bugsnax is at the top of her list, unironically. Yes. Because this is a game that speaks to Joey. And I think you talk about those Viva Pinata, Animal Crossing, that fan base. I think that this is who it's going to speak to.
Yeah, and that's exactly what that's exactly what I'm driving at there is. Even just despite Metacritic, because I don't know if, like, I'm sure they care, but I don't think that's their end goal with Bugsnax is, like, you know, the Metacritic. And talking about how people are going to talk about and receive the game, yeah, I think Joey Noel will probably absolutely fall in love with this game. And
game of the year for Joey Noel, probably. No, Animal Crossing still. It's got to compete with that, I guess.
Yeah, number two for Joey Noel, probably. But yeah, folks who are in that crowd who love those types of games, who like this type of experience, who are into the charm, who are into the characters, I think this game is gonna be great for so many people. And I'm very excited to see what that response is. Greg, any final thoughts on Bugsnax?
No, had a great time with it. Looking forward to it. I'm right there with you. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, on launch day, it won't be like the first thing I pop in or whatever, but I'm excited to play it. I'm excited. Again, I think it's going to be a good platinum. And when you have a good collectible system and you know what you're doing, it seems like it. As long as there's no missable trophies, we'll be fine.
Yeah. This game definitely seems like it's going to appeal to the collectible, collectathon side of me. You know, I mentioned that I'm not a completionist, but I do love me my DK64s and Banjos and Mario 64s and those collectible collectathon kind of games. And so,
yeah.
I'm excited to actually check this out when it comes out. Maybe sometime soon after it comes out. Who knows? We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know what you think about Bugsnax. Does this excite you? Does the gameplay here do it for you? Have you seen this and are you like, no, I'm good? Let us know in the comments. Nah, son, I'm good. Of course, I've been Blessing. That's been Greg. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.